My guest is the president of the UFC himself, my buddy, the one and only Dana White. What's going on, big time? How are you, man?
I'm awesome, man. How are you?
It's good to see you. I mean, there's very, very few people in life living living better than you these days, Dana White. $7.7 billion deal with Paramount Plus.
It doesn't suck. It doesn't suck, brother. Well, actually, today we had a CBS town hall, and I think that, you know, obviously the money's great and all that stuff, but right. The most exciting part about being in business with these guys is how enthusiastic they are about the product and about having UFC on their platform. They've been incredible already, and right. We haven't even put on an event yet.
I'm wondering, did you see this coming? I mean, UFC has been very, very successful throughout the years. Obviously, you've built it from the ground up, and you've done a phenomenal job. Nobody has ever denied that. But when we heard this kind of deal coming down the pike, give us some of the particulars as to why this deal is such a great deal for the UFC.
I mean, first of all, when you talk about expanding the fan base, you know, when we were on ESPN, you had to pay to be on Plus, mm-hmm. and then you had to pay for the pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. For on Paramount Plus, you're literally, if pay-per-view's gone, you're going to pay your subscription, which is anywhere from $8.99 to whatever.
Right.
And it'll cost you less for the year than it did for a pay-per-view. Mm. On ESPN. So it'll widen the fan base. Some of the ideas that they're throwing out already, you know, for shoulder programming. And if you go on Paramount Plus right now, like, they have the hottest shows. Mm-hmm. They got Landman, which is incredible.
It's true.
They have Mobland, Tulsa King, all these other shows. As soon as you click on the app, the UFC library is up there. So you can go and watch all the archive. You know,
yeah.
Footage and fights of the UFC. It's been a great experience already.
What has life been like for you as you've watched the UFC grow and grow throughout the last few years? Some would look at it in the times that we're living in, and you think about just some of these sports. I think about boxing all the time. Anytime I look at you, I think about boxing, because I've been clamoring for you for years, and we'll get into that in a few minutes in terms of your involvement in boxing. But you know me, I've been big on that for yep. years, because I believe that the reason why the UFC is so successful compared to boxing is because they have leadership. They have somebody like you that prioritizes giving the fans what they want to see, when they want to see it. Why do you believe you've been so successful at building the UFC?
Well, I mean, the one thing that me and the Fertitta brothers looked at when we bought this thing was, if you look to tell me any business that's ever existed in the history of the world where it's brought in trillions of dollars in revenue, yet at the end of the day, there's nothing there.
Wow.
Boxing. That's yeah. what it was. Broken, fragmented. Every time they put on a fight, it's like a going out of business sale. Mm-hmm. We did the exact opposite with the UFC. We built a brand. We built something that fans could believe in and trust. Like, sometimes we'll put a fight on sale.
Mm-hmm.
It'll sell out before we announce what the main event is.
That's true.
Because the fans know that we're going to deliver. And if the fight falls out, most of the times we make a fight that was actually better than the original one. Mm-hmm. And that's important to me is the customer. Every Saturday I ask you to stay home and watch a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And never do I want you to turn it off and go, I wish I did something else tonight.
And
boxing hasn't had that in a long time.
That's true. Absolutely. You know, ending the traditional pay-per-view, as we all know it, I mean, it's painstaking to some degree when you think about $79, $89, $99, usually about $59 or $49. That's something that's not going to happen with the UFC. Their idea, your idea, how did that come about where you thought to eradicate pay-per-view at a time where one would think that's not even an option in the sports world?
Well, as these streaming platforms, continue, I believe, I've been saying this for a long time. I grew up with Channel 3, Channel 5, Channel 8, and Channel 13. I believe that's going to exist again, mm-hmm. except globally. There will be a handful of channels that exist globally, mm-hmm. and, you know, the whole world will be able to watch the same thing at the same time on the same channel. And that day is coming. So with these streaming services, I believe that the possibility of pay-per-view mm-hmm. could go away someday.
With this deal starting in January, I mean, starting this month, by the way, how are you planning to grow your fan base internationally? I mean, you already have one, But I'm just imagining, I'm just thinking about how you're planning to grow this, because you're always looking ahead. You're always thinking about growing.
Well, we're still on pay-per-view in some territories. So, you know, we have different television deals. As, you know, what the goal is here in the United States is next week, the executives from CBS and Paramount are going to call me, and they're telling me what their five big initiatives are for 2026. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to help them achieve that. So last year was our biggest year ever, 2025. The slate is wiped clean. Last year means nothing.
Right. It's done.
I got to prove myself all over again. We have to prove the brand and the sport and, you know, and then boxing too, mm-hmm. on Paramount Plus and the rest of the world. And how we continue to grow in all these different markets is by bringing the live event there. Mm. So when you come to a live event and we sell out and we break the record, think about this. We weren't allowed in New York. We're in 2 years. I'll be back here in November. In 2 years, we'll be 10 of the top 10 all-time biggest events at Madison Square Garden. Mm. 10 of the top 10.
Wow. You know, a lot of times when people think about your fighters and stuff like that, the great side is the fights that we get. I love the fact that it's not contingent in terms of the success of these events. It's not contingent, oh, my God, this fighter was undefeated. That fighter had only one loss or whatever. It's like in the boxing, one of the things that I thought really, really contaminated the sport is that you've got people, if you got a couple of losses on your resume, suddenly people don't want to see that. That is completely not the case with the UFC, which I think is great. But I wanted to ask you this question. Deal significantly involving, you know, significantly changes to the fan access. No extra cost on Paramount Plus for UFC events or whatever, but how will that influence fighter pay models, for example, or future contract negotiations in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's enough money to, right. You know, mathematically we figure out how the pay-per-view used to work with certain guys, and you just apply it now, mm-hmm. without pay-per-view.
Gotcha.
The money, so for the fans, the product is cheaper and more accessible than it's ever been. You know, for the UFC and for the sport, being a part of Paramount and CBS is massive, mm-hmm. With all the shoulder programming and all the plans that they have, you know, over the next 7 years. And then for the fighters, mm-hmm. it's an absolute home run for them.
Talk to me about the events coming up over the next 2 weeks. I mean, you got UFC. I'm looking at this right here. UFC 324. At T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, UFC 325 in Sydney, Australia, Volkanovski. I mean, these boys going to be on this home turf for the first time. Talk to me about the two events coming up over these next 2 weekends and what that means to you.
Yeah, so what I wanted to do is go back-to-back with two, which would be pay-per-views. Okay. I mean, if we were, you know, in the old model, these are two pay-per-views back-to-back. Mm-hmm. We've been off for 6 weeks since we left ESPN, mm-hmm. and we're coming right in with two big events back-to-back. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a fan or a casual, it's worth it to come in and get a subscription, right. for Paramount Plus.
Justin Gaethje, I love him.
Yep.
You understand? And Patty, you know I love him. But it was hard for me to watch Justin Gaethje get knocked out like that. It was hard.
Max Holloway.
Yeah. Yes. That hurt to see that because I love Justin Gaethje so much.
Yep.
But he's still a warrior, no doubt about it. He... fighting his Patty. Talk about that for a second, what that match is going to mean to you considering the debut for the new deal with Paramount Plus.
Neither guy has ever been in a boring fight.
Never.
And, you know, this has serious implications down the road. Whoever wins this fight could end up fighting Ilia Topuria. You know, it's a great fight on paper and should be a great fight that night, and leads into a massive fight later this year. And then even in the boxing match is the night before,
okay.
the 23rd.
Right.
And when I talk about matchmaking, I'm going to have all these up-and-coming guys. Like, we have, you know, this kid named Ocampo, who is a, you know, a seasoned veteran. His only losses are in title fights, three title fight losses. He has more knockouts than Callum has fights.
Wow.
Callum undefeated, 15-0. And it's the main event, should be, again, a badass boxing event.
When you bring up Topuria, this is a guy I'm a fan of. I watched this guy. This guy will hurt you. This guy, I mean, he could take you up out of here. We think about the world of Conor McGregor back in the day, and as great as he was, his personality, one would argue,
right.
was even greater.
I call him the unicorn.
That's right. You always mentioned to me personally, and I've seen you say so publicly, It's phenomenal what he brought to the sport. It's phenomenal. It meant everything to you guys. But in the same breath, you didn't need it to be successful. You were going to be successful one way or another. Right now, when you look at some of the personalities, I find myself starving for the personality, not the fighters, but starving for the personalities that propel this sport to another height. Do you ever find yourself feeling that way?
Not really, because the way that I look at the sport is when you find a unicorn like Conor McGregor, we talked about this at the CBS town hall today. It's like when he would roll into a press conference, you know, he would come in and say, I run this whole thing. You guys, nobody be making money here if it wasn't for me. And da, da, da. You just let a guy like that do his thing. In my business, when a guy like that pops up, or a Ronda Rousey or a Chuck Liddell, it's a home run. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all I care about is who's the baddest dude in the world or who's the baddest woman in the world. Can you fight? If you can fight and you finish people, you know, that's what I need.
Are you one of those leaders that look at somebody like that and you're almost praying they don't lose because of how elite their personalities are and the draw that they bring to the sport?
I've sort of gotten over all of that.
You know,
early on, in the beginning, I thought, oh my God, if this guy doesn't win, we're in big trouble.
Right.
Oh my God. And none of it's true. Because what happens is whoever wins, wins. And they go on and they have their own journey and their own storyline and however it plays out. And yeah, I stopped sweating that stuff a long time ago.
Is Conor McGregor the greatest storyline that has ever been associated with
Probably.
This sport?
I would say him and Ronda.
Okay.
You know, Ronda, you know, you forget at the time when she first burst onto the scene.
Right.
I mean, she was massive and she was the talk of sports.
Yeah. What's the worst storyline ever associated as a fighter for one of the fighters? Like Conor McGregor, this is what he brought to the sport. The reason I bring that up is that I'm a huge John Bones Jones fan. I think he's phenomenal.
Yep.
When he decided he was going to step away, okay, rather than fight everybody, you know, the man that everybody wants in the fight, I was like, damn it, this is the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, you the baddest man on the planet. I believe John Bones Jones is the best ever. I don't want to see him walking away.
Asperger
calling you out. Take him on. Take him out. Then retire. That's my attitude. And I'm like, that's what the fans want to see. What is it like for you when a decision like that, I know you respect the fight and you respect the decision, but damn, it's like, what happened to saying, make the fight? I need to destroy this dude, right?
No, it's true. I mean, there's guys that stick around too long and I'm like, you might have to, it's time to go.
Chuck
you know?
Liddell, I somebody thought, like that? Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
I thought Cormier retired too soon. Mm. I thought Cormier had more in him. Habib Nurmagomedov, obviously,
yes,
I think retired too soon. And I tried to get him to come back. But once in this sport, once you make that decision that you think you want to retire, you probably should. Because this is a very dangerous game. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, Jones is, I wouldn't say that Jones is the worst story. Mm-hmm.
I'm always only talking about in terms
of... I understand what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Right. But I think some of the most fascinating things about John Jones, and he is absolutely positively the GOAT, the best of all time.
Right.
And when I look at some of the things that he was doing when he was winning these fights, it makes it even more unbelievable and impressive.
Right.
He was not being good to himself.
Right.
You know, when he was fighting these fights, and he still won in spectacular fashion. And the problem is that I've gotten over the thing in my career where I'm so worried about wins, losses. What if this guy retires? What if he, it's time and who's next?
Why do you think you've been able to make that change? And I asked that question in all earnest because I'm going to put myself out on front street. You know, I've been on here and I'm in good health. I'm feeling good and all of that stuff. And, you know, I give all the credit in the world to a guy like Gary Brecka and, you know, and what he was able to do for me to change my health around, because after COVID, I mean, I was in a really, really, really bad shape.
Yep.
But there was a man that introduced me to Gary that got him on the phone and said, take care of my brother right here. And that man was you. You know, so I've always given praise to you and to Gary for what you've been able to do for my life and how you helped turn my life around from a health perspective. That health that I've had, that improved health and the better I feel and what have you, it's made me so much better at everything, but most importantly, dealing with stress and not worrying about things and handling things a little bit better. You've obviously had a big time health change over the years yourself. How much has your improved health helped you as a leader leading the UFC and dealing with all the things that you've had to deal with?
The place that I was at, like you were describing about yourself, I would not be sitting here having this conversation with you. Not that I would be dead, but I wouldn't be doing all the things that I'm doing right now. And who knows? We might not be looking down the barrel of the deal that we have right now. Mm. But like you just said, once he did that for me, and I didn't believe in any of that stuff,
right?
Which is even crazier. I was blown away and started trying to help as many people as I could, and you were obviously one of them.
Could you provide perspective on how bad you were compared to how good you are now?
So we would be in meetings at the office and I would fall asleep in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah.
My legs, I could barely put my shoes on and tie my shoes because my legs were so messed up. My snoring and sleep apnea was horrible. I mean, so bad. And I would talk to these doctors and you go do a sleep study and then they give you a CPAP machine, right? So I bought 10 CPAP machines and 500 masks trying to figure out a mask that I could sleep with.
I had 5 CPAP machines.
Exactly. Yeah. And how many masks you go through? The one that sprays the water, the one that doesn't spray the water, this one, that one, the one that just goes in your nose and mouth, the one that covers your whole face. I mean, I went through it all and none of it worked. I even talked to a doctor who told me, what we're going to do is we're going to go in and cut your throat and make it wider.
Wow.
I'm like, what?
Yes.
Yeah. So thank God I never did any of that stuff. And it's incredible what this guy's done. My sleep, my snoring, my legs, my overall blood work, healthy, healthiest it's ever been. And when I try to talk to people, so many people go through this stuff and you don't know what to do. Right. And you go see your doctor and they give you a handful of pills and say, take these pills or let's cut your throat wider. Give you a CPAP machine, all this bullshit that doesn't solve the problem and doesn't fix you.
And now it's like you ain't falling asleep in meetings. You're wide awake and you're watching others tired while you're rested.
And I'm putting more on my plate,
mm-hmm.
more and more and more on my plate. I mean, I don't know who has more on their plate than you do, but yeah.
Boxing is one of them, obviously. Talk to us for a second about what you're doing in the sport of boxing. From start to finish, your promotional arm and everything else in between.
So I've been talking smack about boxing for a long time, and now it's time to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to get rid of the sanctioning organizations. The best will fight the best. We're going to sign all the young up-and-coming guys. If you break into the top 10 and you're still undefeated, your undefeated record means something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everybody's undefeated in boxing because nobody fights anybody.
Right.
Everybody will fight everybody. And when you're undefeated, like John Jones.
Mm-hmm.
John Jones is nobody has ever beat John Jones, and he fought all the best in the world, you know? Then he moved up to heavyweight and walked right through the guy.
Yeah.
Your O will actually mean something in boxing in the next couple of years.
How are you going to pull that off? Are you going to have fights every month? Is it going to be on Paramount Plus every month? Yep. How is that going to work?
Yes, Paramount Plus, mm-hmm. just about every month.
How are you going to be able to pull off getting some of these fighters who are under contract, obviously, whether it's I'm just speaking hypothetically, the top ranks of the world, the PBCs of the world and what have you. I mean, these fighters, some of the elite fighters are under contract with other folks. I mean, you just wait for the contract to run out. I mean, what's the deal? How's all that going to work?
All contracts eventually end, I need to get out there and prove myself over the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, when these guys' contracts are up, they're going to want to sign with us.
You're doing this solo? You're doing this with, I know you did something before with Nick Khan.
Yeah, it's TKO, me and Nick Khan, and a team of other talented boxing guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've already we've already done some pretty big things before the first fight. We're going to start making a lot of announcements here soon. And it's been fun so far.
I'm wondering, because you know how much I love my boxing.
Yep.
And what I say about the UFC is I profound respect and love for all of these guys. I mean, they're the bravest of the brave as far as I'm concerned. I look at it and I say, the addiction to the knockout is always there. You know, when I think about John Bones Jones and his greatness, but he'll choke you out, he'll kick you, he'll do a lot of different things. Whereas, you know, you've got some people who are knockout artists and folks gravitate to them more. That was what Conor McGregor was, essentially a knockout artist. You need that in boxing too, to some degree, I would say. And I think that the more popular boxing gets under your umbrella, the more you'll see people clamoring for the knockout in anything associated with Dana White, whether it's the UFC or boxing. Thought about that at all?
No. All I ever think about is the right matchmaking, the right up-and-coming talent. I want to find future world champions. That's what I'm looking for. Who's the best in every weight class? Mm-hmm. And the rest just plays itself out.
Could you imagine a major fight like Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence Jr., a Terrence Crawford versus Canelo, but it's on Paramount Plus instead of pay-per-view? That's what you're envisioning.
100%.
Now, you remember back in the days when boxing was on weekly on Wide World of Sports.
Wide World of Sports, and I was a big USA's Tuesday Night Fights fan.
That's right. That's right. Do you foresee something like that, or yes, is once a month really what your mission is?
Once a month, yeah.
Once a month.
Yeah, I love Tuesday Night Fights. That was my favorite. And all the guys that came off USA's Tuesday Night Fights became the big pay-per-view stars,
right,
in the 90s.
Yeah. Dana, let me transition to this White House event everybody's been talking about. UFC is going to have an event at the White House, reportedly and possibly in June of 2026. What can you tell us about that? Is that finite? Is that definitely going to happen? Is it something that's just being talked about? What's the situation?
It's done.
Wow.
So we literally just did my head of production went over there. My ops people went there, went through everything with the president's team. Then the president signed off on everything, and we're a go. So I have Zuffa Boxing on the 23rd of this month. The 24th is UFC. And as soon as those two fights are over, I start working on the White House fight.
Wow. What made you come up with that idea to have a fight at the White House?
We're sitting at a fight. He looks at me and says, we should do a fight at the White House. I said, yes, okay, I'm in, you know?
Just that simple.
Yeah, and when you think about it, when you think about sports, you know, Bush was a big baseball fan.
Yes, he was.
Obama, part NBA. Owner.
Obama, NBA, yeah. Absolutely.
And Trump is a UFC fan.
I got news for you. Trump is more than a UFC fan. I know people, I annoyed him when I say this. I knew the man before he ran for president, okay? Big boxing fan.
Yes.
Big basketball fan.
Yep.
Doesn't mind football and now loves the UFC because of you and what have you. So he was a big-time sports fan.
True.
For many, absolutely hosting a lot of events or whatever. That's why Mike Tyson, when he said, I voted for him, what the hell y'all going to say? I voted for him. What you going to do about it? That's exactly what Mike Tyson said. It is what it is. Right? I ask you, when you think about the White House, obviously Trump is in it. People think about your relationship with Donald Trump. Remind everybody what the relationship is with Trump and where it stems from as it pertains to you and him specifically.
So in the early days of the UFC, when we bought it, it wasn't allowed on pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. You as a grown man couldn't choose to buy porn was on pay-per-view. The UFC was not allowed.
Wow.
So that's the uphill battle we had when we bought the company. And our goal was to get it onto free TV and everybody thought we were nuts and it would never happen. But you have to also imagine venues didn't want us.
Right.
Like, we don't want those kind of people, in our venue. Trump reached out and wanted us to come to the Taj Mahal. We went there for the first fight of the night. He was in his seat for the first prelim and stayed till the last. Both events we did at the Taj, he did. And he and I became friends through those two events. Anything that ever happened to me in my career, after that, he'd be the first one to reach out and go, I always knew this was going to be big. Congratulations. You know, then in 2015, he called me and this is exactly what he said to me. If you don't want to do this, I completely understand, but I would be honored if you'd speak for me at the Republican convention. Mm-hmm. Everybody told me not to do it. Don't do it. You don't want to get into politics, and he's never going to win. And I said, well, it's not about him winning. This is the guy that's been really good to me. And you know, throughout the years, I'm definitely going to do it. I like him, and he's always been a good friend to me. So I did it. And then obviously, you know, the rest is history. Then we became really close, you know, during his first term, he and I became very close.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that was? Because you said during his first term, as opposed to before his first term. Yeah, why do you think you came closer?
So before his first term, we were friends.
Right.
And he would always reach out and do nice things and stuff like that. But then after he won the election, we became super close. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally. So Conor McGregor was fighting the night after the election in New York City at the Garden.
Yeah.
Me and my wife were at dinner, and the Fertittas called me, and they said, you know, he just won Pennsylvania. Mm. He might win this election. Mm. And I'm not kidding you. We didn't even eat our dinner. We paid the check, and we were heading back to the hotel to watch it. And then Trump security called me and said, he's going to win. Mm. It's he's in.
Right.
He wants you at the after party or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm like, oh, shit. The only suit I brought is the suit for the fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I went and put my suit for the fight. I went down, and literally after that night, I'd be at work, and we'd get a call. This is the White House. The President of the United States is on the phone for you to talk. And we just, you know, we became super, super tight after that.
So you're not somebody that involves yourself with politics, or you don't view yourself as somebody that's involved in politics that wants anything to do with politics. You don't even think about it. It's about him.
100%. And what's even worse is that the horrible things that people were saying about him mm-hmm. were the furthest thing from the truth. He is the nicest guy in the world,
right.
and he is a really good friend.
I think he could get vicious. He could get vicious to enemies, which is something you ain't gonna take much. If somebody's your enemy, you're gonna treat him like it. He's 100%. One of those guys.
100%.
You know, I take a lot of hits because I refuse to engage in all of that stuff, calling him racist and all that stuff. Because for me, I remember him before he became president, mm-hmm. and all of us were cool with him. Yep. And so all of a sudden, I was like, no, I don't like what he does. I say so, but I don't engage in name calling and all of that other nonsense.
Yeah, when he was a Democrat.
Well, you know what? That is true. Let's not forget that. That is true. He was. But looking at things now and how chaotic things could be, and the country hating him so much, I shouldn't say the country, half the country, the people that on the left, all right, feeling about him the way that he does it ever give you cause to pause? Do you ever talk to him and say to him, well, you know what? How you feeling? What you doing? Do you think you were right about something here? Do you think you were wrong? Do you ever have those kind of conversations, or do you make a concerted effort to stay away from
that? Yeah, we talk more about things that friends talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, not that we don't get into politics and he'll walk me through things and talk to me about stuff like that. But for me, especially the last, 5 years, it was more about, how are you? Are you good? Mm-hmm. You okay?
Right.
You know, because to go through what that guy went through for the last 5, 6 years, whatever it's been, he's the most resilient human being I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. He's tough as nails. And then after the attempted assassination, just
got
the
tougher.
Most badass presidential thing I've ever seen, the way that he handled that whole thing. As men, you all want to think you're tough, and you know I've seen a couple of Mr. Fertitta, okay, my old partner's dad. Mm-hmm. He had a bad heart his whole life. He's gonna die. He's laying in the hospital bed. His two sons, who absolutely worship and adore him, mm-hmm. Dad, we're gonna get you a heart. He said, and he was a Catholic, a religious guy, his whole life, mm-hmm. looking down the barrel of death. And he says to his two sons, that heart belongs to a young person. I've lived a great life. I'm ready to go on to the next chapter. Man shit. Mm-hmm. That's some man shit. And you hope as a man in front of your family, that's how you would go out, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the one laying there, get me a heart. Right, you know what right, I mean? Right. Steal it from anybody. Get me a heart. And this and that.
Yep.
That's how how President Trump reacted to an attempted assassination,
right,
is just one of the most badass things.
I've ever seen. I, you know, my personal feelings is that I thought when he got shot, And he stood up and he raised his fist and he pumped his fist and said, fight, 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 with the American flag behind him. I said, it's over. Election's over. I said that. How you got? I said, you can't be a politician with a better visual
100%.
Than that. I said, I'm just, there's no way he's going to lose. That's how I felt.
It's movie but shit.
It is
like movie in a
shit.
Movie.
It is movie shit. No doubt about it. And I'm just wondering that when you think about all of those things, as you sit here today, thinking about what that relationship has meant to you, is there anybody else out there that has come close to doing for you what you feel he's done for you?
Oh yeah. I mean, the Fertitta family, I've obviously been successful and I've made a lot of money and all that stuff. If the Fertitta brothers called me and said, hey, we need you to clean out our garage this weekend, I'm grabbing my hose and my broom and I'm on my way.
Right.
You know, what these guys, the way these guys have treated me and what they've done for me in my life is unbelievable. And, and the president has been a very good friend to me too, so when he would call me and ask me, hey, would you do this? Hey, would you do that? Or, you know, when you think about this, when you're going through what he went through, there has to be these moments of doubt, like, holy shit, they're trying to indict me on all these counts. They're doing this, they're doing that to me. They raided my home, and every station except for Fox is saying he's a horrible human being, basically, right? There has to be those days where you wake up and you're just like, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing and all this stuff? And I think that every time if he ever felt that way, he would come to a UFC event. And he would walk out of that tunnel, and I'm telling you, in all the years that I've been in the fight business, the entertainment, I've never seen anything like it. Mm. The way we could be in New York City, we could be in Portland, Oregon, we could have been, and that is how our base reacted to Trump. And I think that, almost like in a video game, when your power's getting low, you walk into something like that and it recharges you and realize, you know what? The whole world doesn't hate me. And the whole world doesn't think these horrible things about me. And, I think that's sort of his relationship that he's had with the UFC.
What does that do for you, though? And what I mean by that is that as you have to go, before I let you get on out of here, because I know you got to go and I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. When you've got to go through building something successful, maintaining that level of success, taking it to another level. When you have people in your life that you know have had very trying experiences, but they propel, they move forward. I know covering sports. No, I was never good enough to be a professional athlete on any level in any sport. But I think the second greatest blessing one could have other than being gifted enough to perform on that level is being able to cover it and be surrounded by it the way that I have been. Because I can't tell you whether it was Kobe Bryant, whether it was Jordan, whether it was Derek Jeter or various other great, great athletes throughout the years that have performed at a very high level, and then executives like yourself and others to be around people, to talk to them, to learn so much. There's a resolve that you capture because when you're down and out, when you feel like things ain't so great, all of a sudden, those people, you see what they've been through, and they impart their words of wisdom on you, and it propels you, I think, to another level. Do you find yourself being that kind of person, a recipient of being around people like that?
100%. I mean, I didn't go to college. Mm. So everything I learned was on the job, what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but you definitely... I think the thing about me and President Trump is that right when we met, when we were younger, we're a lot alike in a lot of ways. We're very similar.
Right.
And there was just always this mutual respect. Mm-hmm. I remember doing an interview with somebody and they were saying, Donald Trump tried to compete with you in another MMA. I said, I'll never say anything bad. I know what they were trying to do.
Right.
And this was before any presidential stuff or any of that. I said, I know what you're trying to do. I'm never going to say anything bad about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He's been great to me. He's been a great friend. And You know, there's so many stories that I could tell you of just who this guy really is to his core. Such a loyal, good human being. And his family. I mean, his family, they're all good people. That, right. You know, Ivanka's one of the sweetest humans you'll ever meet. Her husband, Jared, is incredible. I'd do anything for him. I mean, the list goes on and on.
I'll move on from Donald Trump, but I'll say this. You know, listen, people have a right to want whatever policies they want. What drives me crazy about him is his rhetoric, because I'm like, damn, that ain't going to help. You know what I'm saying? That's going to create more chaos. You are the president. You know what I'm saying? You have overcome a lot of this. Just move on. Ignore this stuff. I wish he would, but he takes on every fight and exacerbates every situation, and it just drives me crazy because I don't think it leads to peace. I think it leads to chaos, and the presidency, I believe, to be a statesman's position. So you should... Dana hating on an Oscar De La Hoya, or, you know, you might not like him. I don't know how you feel about him now. I'm giving you to ask you about him. But
he's a jerk-off.
You still feel that way? Still hasn't changed, Dana.
Oh my God.
After all that time, you're still feeling it. I thought that you and Oscar De La Hoya mended fences. It hasn't?
I have this philosophy in my life.
Okay.
When somebody shows you who they really are.
Believe them.
Believe them.
Yeah. Maya Angelou.
Oh, I believe.
All right.
I believe Oscar De La Hoya.
Mm. Yeah. So you haven't changed your feelings about him, but why? Why not?
Because he is what he is, and just
and what
we're
is
never going to be friends.
Okay,
and we don't need to be friends, and mm-hmm. we don't need to be cool.
Yeah. And what is he to you? You say he is what he is. What does that mean? What
he's
is
full
he?
Of shit. He's not a good guy. He's a liar. Mm-hmm. I mean, on your show, I laid out all the lies that he told on your show.
Right.
And, you know, he's just not my kind of, he's not a stand-up good guy. He's just not my kind of guy.
Is there anyone associated with the world of boxing that you find to be a stand-up guy?
That's a great question. Yes. There are some good guys in the sport of boxing. I was actually surprised Eddie Hearn at his, you know, I've been cool with him for a long time. At his take on me getting into boxing and his reaction to it, mm-hmm. you know, very negative, very,
they're worried,
very confrontational, which I found weird. Cause it's not his style.
Right.
You know,
why do you think what do you think the reason for that was? Could it be here that he's hearing footsteps? Cause you're coming.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. 100%.
What do you think you're
going? He's talking like a politician now. Mm. He's like, "Oh, I look forward to it. We'll beat him. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. You've been here for 25 years.
No,
what are you talking about? It's like the politician who's running for re-election. He's going to tell you all the things he's going to change and do.
Right?
Why didn't you do that in your last term? And why didn't you? That's Eddie Hearn.
Before I let you get on out of here, getting back to these two upcoming UFC events, really, really pushing forth your debut on Paramount Plus, what does it mean to you personally to be here in this position where you're in the midst of this big, huge deal with Paramount Plus, no more pay-per-view? We're going to see you. I mean, you might change the landscape for the UFC and boxing all rolled up into one. Your thoughts about that. What does it mean to you right now?
All the hard work that me and my team have done over the last 25 years has led us to this deal and this moment. Last year being our greatest year ever, and all of it means nothing. What it did was got us here. Now, for the next 7 years, we have to kick ass and continue to prove ourselves. It's like the old cliches, you know, it's easier to get on top than it is to stay on top.
Right.
I mean, anybody who's on top knows that to be absolutely true.
Define kicking ass. Define taking this to another level. What does that look like?
Yep. So obviously that's beating last year. We got to beat last year. Mm-hmm. And I think I told you, next week I'm meeting with these guys from CBS and Paramount.
You did.
And they have the five initiatives that they want to accomplish in 2026. If we beat last year, as far as the UFC business goes, we achieve all of the initiatives that Paramount Plus and CBS want to achieve. then we've done it. We set our goals for 26. Mm-hmm. We kicked 26's ass, and now we're heading into 27, and there'll be a whole new set of goals.
You walked around wondering a few years ago how much time you have left, how much time you had left. What's the mindset now? You don't look like somebody that's interested in retiring anytime soon, like when this contract is over or anything like that. Yeah. You don't look like that kind of guy.
I just went to Fiji for 10 days on, you know, you can't do a trip better than I did this trip and with my family and everything else. But by day 7, I mean, when you and I were growing up, we used to hear these stories about people who are looking down the barrel of retirement going, I'm going to be on the beach with a, you know, with a pina colada. How many fucking days in a row can you do that before you want to, you know, shoot yourself in the head, right?
Retirement and relaxation are overrated.
6-7 days of drinking and hanging out and laying in the sun and all that stuff, you're ready to get back. And for me, I have to be building something, and I have to be doing something. I'm not the lay on the beach guy.
Got you. Proud of you, man. Good to
Thanks,
see you.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Congrats.
You know it. All the best to you.
Congrats on all your success, man.
Okay. Keep going.
One of the most hardest working dudes in the business.
Got to keep going. Got to keep going. Dana White, the one and only president of UFC.
I don't know who's on more shit, you or Mario Lopez.
You know what? I don't know. It might be Mario Lopez, though. It might be Mario.
We're in the lobby. He's in a freaking car commercial or something.
Exactly.
He's everywhere.
Exactly.
He's in your hotel room.
There we go. That's true. That's not me, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it, though. Dana White, Stephen A., you see it.